Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, to make over or not make over might be the question that's going through the minds of several in a position to do so in the camp of the New England Patriots right at this very moment. Hi again, everyone. We welcome you inside Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio for a Tuesday, a nitpick Tuesday. I'm John Rook. If you've got some thoughts on Sunday's game, and I'm sure you do, one way or the other, in a good sense, in the second half, particularly in the third quarter, or in a bad sense, in the entire first half, when you manage only 10 yards passing or 18 yards passing and 59 yards of total offense, and you find yourself in a 17-3 hole. I'm not sure I've seen two halves as directly opposite and different from each other as what I saw in the first half versus the second half on Sunday here at Gillette, but the bottom line is the Patriots ended up winning a game 27-17. And believe it or not, I think we had Kevin at last check, and I went through my files. I believe we have four people who correctly nailed 27-17. By the way, including myself.
Actually,
before plus me would be five.
That's interesting.
But I'm wondering now if I shouldn't just disqualify the whole bunch because I think they all copied me.
Yeah, that's true. I think you'd have a riot on your hand, though.
Yeah.
But if those, speaking of the devil, John, if those folks want to write in an email.
A Wemail, too.
Yes, an email to webradio@patriots.com and include their name and mailing address.
Right.
We will get those prizes out to them as soon as possible.
You know who you are. I think most of the winners, in fact, I think at least three of the four that I'm thinking came through on Twitter.
Twitter, because I don't think we got any email ones because we didn't have any follow-ups.
No.
So
and
it
I,
must
and
have
I,
been personal Twitter followers.
It was a Twitter follower, and I also believe we had a Facebook follower as well. Who also correctly predicted 27-17. So here it is. It figures we've gone, 2 years now, over 2 years of doing this. No one has done it ever in 2 years of this weekly contest. And now in 1 week, we have five, including myself.
Yeah, so if those folks write in an email with their name, mailing address, and I can follow up and I'll probably have those out, just being honest, by like Friday. So you'll get them probably early next week.
Look at it this way. You'll have it in time for the bye week, which is halfway through the season.
Yeah, and if folks,
so you'll have your yearbook / media guide for the second half of the year.
Yeah, and if folks are not listening live right now and listen to the podcast later on tonight or tomorrow, I'll have my eye on the web radio email box looking for your emails.
So all you need to do, the quickest way that I can tell you to do this, is make sure that you put in the subject line yearbook.
Yes, like yearbook winner, predict Thursday winner, anything like that, that will catch my attention.
And by the way, those of you that try to pull one over on us and get one anyway, we know who the winners are. I know who the winners are. So if I catch you trying to, jip us here, well,
he'll unfollow you. It'd be in real trouble.
Well, no, I need all the followers I can get. No, I'll just say this. It won't work. All right. So you could try. It won't work. There you go. So you can do it right the right way, or if you want to try to do it the wrong way, that's fine, but it won't work. So at any rate, those, and I believe, like I said, three on Twitter and one on Facebook, at least by my count. If I'm missing and you're listening, well, then send me a note personally, either on Twitter or Facebook, and I'll go back and check the records. But as Kevin said, one more time, if you'll send an email to webradio@patriots.com with your full name and address and put in the subject line yearbook and or contest winner, then we'll get it out to you by the end of the week. And congratulations. On top of all of that, congratulations. All right, so there are some things then about this week that clearly we have to go over today. I still am trying to figure out how this team is 6-2. I don't know how this team is 6-2. That's the thing that really gets me. Based on the first half performance alone last week, which really is nitpick number one for me today in a general sense. The first half performance was not an NFL quality performance. It was not a New England Patriot performance. It was not a Tom Brady performance. And the Patriots really are their own worst enemies. I don't think it was anything that Miami did one way or the other that caused them to play as pathetically poor as they did in the first half on Sunday. They were very, very lucky. Very lucky to be down by only 17-3 at halftime. Very fortunate. And yet, the comeback as well, they did it on their own. They just kind of flipped a switch and did it on their own, and the defense kicked in. And, in fact, the defense's effort in the second half was one of the more extraordinary efforts I thought of the entire year. If you could play with that kind of effort and that kind of game planning and that kind of adjustment, which they clearly made at halftime, And we've, you know, been shooting them in the foot as well for not making adjustments and being out-coached, if you will. And I guess they made the necessary adjustments certainly on defense, because they had Miami's number. They knew where the Dolphins were going on Sunday in the second half. And they turned it around enough where they gave themselves a chance to win, and Miami just never could get over the hump. I blame Miami almost as much for losing as I you know, praise New England for coming back to win that game. The end result was the 27-17 final margin, which, frankly, I'm really surprised that we arrived at when you take the first half into consideration and realize how poorly overall the team played. So my first nitpick is just a general one. It's just, you know, the first half effort was just not NFL quality. It certainly was not divisional champion, Super Bowl contender quality. And I'm sure we will. We'll sort of pick through it. We'll kind of decide maybe where some of the particular nitpicks should fall, where some of the blame should go. I don't know that you can. It all kind of gets back around to, you know what? They could have changed things. They could have done things differently. I didn't see that the team was into it mentally. The whole first half was just flat. And the crowd here at Gillette was flat compared to previous weeks. And Tom Brady was off, and he was really off. And I have to admit, my other nitpick, and I'm going to share it with you right now, is the play calling by Josh McDaniels. I think the play calling, they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. I don't believe that they are putting the best personnel on the field in an effort to utilize what this team has. I think they're trying to make this team still be what it was last year when it is not. Those are my thoughts. Now, yes, they have Rob Gronkowski back. Yes, they got Danny Amendola back. So they're as close to being as healthy and as close as they were to last year and the kind of offense that we saw over the last couple of years as maybe they will be all season long. But for the life of me, I don't understand a couple of things. Number one, why they insist upon LeGarrette Blount. And I'm not really being critical of Blount, because he is what he is. But in the second half, it was clear that this offense got a boost by Stephen Ridley's running. Ridley is the guy that deserves to be the every down back. That doesn't mean Blount doesn't have a role. He does. That doesn't mean Blount won't get his share of carries. He will. That doesn't mean Blount can't be used, especially in certain situations. He should be. Ridley is the guy that makes this offense move. He's got missability. One of the words that I've liked to phrase over the last couple of years. He's got that ability, and I know that he's had some trouble holding onto the football. He may very well still be in a doghouse or two on the sideline, but you know what? This is about winning. This isn't about, you know, penalizing adult professional athletes for dropping the ball. Dude, you drop the ball, fine. You're going to sit on the bench for a while. But the next game is the next game. We need to start over again here and give him another opportunity. You can deal with all the other, you know, penalty stuff after the year is over. Right now, who gives you the best chance to win? It's Ridley. and something's got to be done about the play calling, because they seem to get into a rut where, in all honesty, they just don't give themselves a chance to sustain drives. I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are, especially on the play calling is concerned. I'd really like to get your opinion on that today. How could the Patriots make themselves more dynamic on offense in particular? Injuries aside, what could they do? How could they change the plays? Do we screen? Do we throw back? What do we do? I'd love your 2 cents worth on this today, in addition to all of your nitpicks. But I would also tell you that as part of the, you know, play calling situation is that Tom Brady's got to figure out a way to not throw into double and triple coverage, because he did that on a couple of occasions to Rob Gronkowski. He threw a bad pass on the very first play of the game to Gronk that got intercepted. I mean, I know he's your Binky, TB12, but dude, you got to find somebody else that you can go to. You just do. Sure enough, Aaron Dobson, first pass he saw, he dropped. That's another nitpick. It didn't make my list of three, but I tried to stay generic with it, because I figured I'd be tearing my hair out with everybody else if I got too specific with it. And the bottom line to all of this is, this team won. They won. They won 27-17. They're 6-2. They're 3-1 in the division. And guess what? No matter how bad you think you got it, I love this about sports, and I love this in particular about the NFL. No matter how bad you think you have it, somebody else always has it worse than you do, and it starts with this week's opponent in the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in. They're 2-6. Can you believe that? I think both Eric and I, before the year started, when we were going through the list of wins and losses, potential, and the reason that you guys hung us out to dry early, because we sort of undersold this team's capability, and I think that's probably putting it mildly, right, using the term undersold. I said 10-6. Eric said 9-7. I later revised mine to 11-5, but I'm still not moving off of it. They're 6-2, which means they could go 5-3 the rest of the way, and I'd hit my number. I'm not changing that. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not going to change it. The reason I'm not going to change it is because one of those losses I thought would come this week against Pittsburgh. And I think that's the same thing with Eric. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. But the fact of the matter is that Pittsburgh now is 2-6, and they're in worse shape than the Patriots. And everybody in this league is dealing with huge injury problems. Name a team that really hasn't been hurt. Kansas City. Denver, maybe. Although they've had some problems on the line. I'd say that, you know, Seattle, probably. You have to consider them up there. And by the way, they got by on the skin of their teeth last night, didn't they, in Monday Night Football? If you happen to catch any of the end of that after the World Series game was over, because I know a lot of you are following the Sox, I couldn't believe that the Rams left it right there, you know, basically on the 2-yard line as the game was over. It's amazing to me. They would throw to the end zone and not try to pound it in there, and yet they had a chance to beat Seattle last night and didn't. So you probably have to put Seattle up there as well. And so you're looking at probably 3 or 4 teams that really have not been hammered by them, even though they've certainly had some problems on their own right. But the teams that managed to overcome those injuries by having the quote-unquote next man step up or having some depth on their roster, those are the teams that are having some success. And so far, the Patriots are one of those. Another one goes down for the entire year this week in Sebastian Vollmer. Broken right leg. Done. But I would tell you that this is of the 3 season-ending injuries that the Patriots have had between Wilfork and Mayo and now Vollmer. I would tell you that I think this one is the most overcomable simply because of the depth and the versatility that the Patriots strive for and have built along the offensive line. Now, granted, this has not been a stellar year for offensive line play in New England. None of these guys has had what I would consider to be a Pro Bowl or even a career best year, and that includes Logan Mankins. They have been beaten at the point of attack. They have been out-physicaled by a couple of defensive fronts along the way. Not coincidentally, the 2 teams they've lost to in Cincinnati and New York. By the way, I'll digress here. How about 49-9, the Bengals beating the Jets? the hell is up with that? I mean, I realize Cincinnati, pretty good. But you think the Jets maybe were living off that Patriot win a little bit too long last week? Good grief. Thanks for showing up and playing, Jets. That's embarrassing. That game alone should have gotten Rex Ryan canned. Oh, okay. Enough of that. We'll move on. I wish we had another shot of the Jets, quite frankly, but I think that 49-9 licking they took at the hands of the Bengals is going to keep them out of any potential playoff game this year. Playoffs? Where is he when we need him? All right, so I suppose that, you know, like I said, injuries are a huge part of it for everybody, and with Vollmer out, that's the most overcomable because there is some depth and some versatility along the line. Marcus Cannon will undoubtedly move in at right tackle, although you're still talking about replacing one of the better right tackles, you know, in the league in Vollmer. And Vollmer, by the way, played every game this year, just about every snap. He was arguably as healthy as he's ever been since he came into the NFL and, you know, has missed quite a bit of time over the last few years with his chronic back problems. And then he gets rolled up on and he breaks his leg on Sunday. And now he's done. Next man up, right? So that's three guys this year that has to happen to. Now, Aqib Talib, and we talked about this throughout the course of the week last week. Talib practiced every day last week and still was inactive for the game. So you really can't tell much by the injury report. I hate to say this. This is something that we kind of laughed about over the last few years. I remember probably as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, and this would have been, Kevin, before you even started producing the show. We would actually wait to end the show until 4:02 or 4:04 or 4:07, whenever the Patriots would have to officially release their injury report to the NFL, because it was always due at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And it was such a big deal that we would just wait, and that we'd sign off after the injury report so you could get it here first. And then we realized about 3 or 4 years ago that that's just plain silly. And no more evident is it than now that it's silly, because you just don't know. Guy can practice all week long, be listed as questionable, and this team will still DQ him for the week. And that's what happened to Talib this last weekend. So the injury report to me is worthless. It's just worthless. You're not going to get anything from it. The only thing that it's worth is a player, if he misses practice and he's listed as doubtful or out, then you can pretty much take it to the bank. He's not playing. But then again, you probably already knew that, because most of the time, if a player is not made available to the media through the course of the week, and you should know this is the drill around here, if a player is not made available to the media, he isn't playing, because injured players around here in New England do not talk. Talib did not talk last week, even though he was available to the media, and he was in practice, he did not talk. And guess what? He did not play. So if a guy talks, at least there's a chance. If he doesn't, he's not playing. It's that simple. Now, will we get him back this week? Who the hell knows? You know, when he shows up, fine, we'll pay attention. But frankly, as far as injuries are concerned, and the guys who, you know, are hurt and missing practice, you know what? It just doesn't mean a lot. It's the next guy up. And maybe this is the coaching staff and the management's way of trying to tell us, you know what? Stop asking us about injuries. Even though it's still news, and there will always be somebody who asks about them. But, you know, maybe we're finally getting it around here. You know what? Wake me up when they are active on Sunday. I really don't even want to talk about it. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to talk about it to you or anybody else, because I think it's foolish. You're only setting yourself up to be wrong. These guys will play whenever the coaching staff, who guards this like, you know, a freaking national security secret, whenever they decide they're ready to play. It's that simple. Regardless of what the doctors say, I might add. I think we learned that last year about Gronk, and I think we learned that again this year about Gronk. He might get cleared, or then again, they might want him in there, and he might not be cleared. And if he's not, he's not playing, and that's what happened with Gronk this year. Last year he got cleared under pressure. He came back too early, broke his arm again. That happened. You know it, I know it, we all know it. It's just one of those wink-wink, big elephant in the room type of situations. where nobody's going to come right out and say it. But that happened. So, as far as injuries are concerned, guys, I'd love to help you. Don't ask me about them. We will tell you every week when we practice and when the team practices, and Eric Scalavino is at every practice, and he's out there for the 15 minutes that anybody is allowed to watch, and the rest of it is closed for everyone, even team personnel, closed. Then Eric will be in here as soon as it's over, and he'll tell us who participated and who did not. And then from that, you can glean whether or not somebody's going to play. So fantasy questions, you're not going to find out, okay? You're not going to find out. I'd love to help you. You're not going to find out here, and you're not going to find out anywhere. Some teams are more open about this. The Patriots are not, and this is the way it is in New England. Wish I could help you. Can't. So it really won't do you much good to gnash your teeth or complain to us or whatever. It won't do you any good. We can't help you. So, we'll tell you who's at practice. We can give you best guess on whether or not a guy could be available. Last week, best guess was Talib would be available. Guess what? He still didn't play. So who the heck knows? Maybe this week he's a week closer. I don't know. I have to admit, the way that the defense played in the second half against Miami, I'm becoming a believer in the collective abilities of an undermanned and underappreciated defense. I'm becoming a believer in these guys, pulling together and doing it on their own because so many people are telling them they can't. Let's start with Joe Villano and Chris Jones. Two unheralded rookie free agents who are getting the chance of a lifetime and are making the most of it. My goodness. Look at who they're having to fill in for. Vince Wilfork and Tommy Kelly. And these two guys, and especially Jones, who basically blew the New York game because of the whole, blocking, his own teammate into an offensive formation on the field goal against the Jets, and he manned up. By God, the guy manned up. Took the blame, even though he was absolved of that blame from Coach Belichick last week because Belichick explained, hey, we coached him to do that. So it's the coach's fault, not Chris's. But he still took the blame for it. And he came back and he had a strong game, had a sack. I mean, I can't say enough about these two guys. Those two guys are what this football team right now to me is all about. Forget Brady and his struggles. Forget Ridley and his fumbles. Forget Gronk and his injuries. Forget Amendola and his injuries. Forget all the other stuff. This Patriots team is forming itself an identity behind Villano and Jones. Overachievers. Guys who are getting a chance to step in and be that next man up. And these guys are doing it. And they're good at it. They're playing with an edge. They're playing with a chip on the shoulder. The one thing that you could be critical of is the fact that they were giving up, chunks of yardage up the middle. To the Miami running game. Miami hadn't been able to run the football all year long. And all of a sudden, Thomas and Miller are gouging chunks of yardage up the middle on the Patriots defensively. Now, part of that is because the linebackers were worried about coverage. That was not a Brandon Spikes and or Dante Hightower type of game where those guys are usually solid at run stuffing up the middle. I think the Patriots worried about the corner. I thought they did a pretty good job of taking Brian Hartline over the middle out of the play, and I think that had to be one of their goals. So, for the most part, I think the Patriots did what they wanted to accomplish, and then they finally got somebody to play with a sense of urgency. And they got one of the more spectacular individual plays that I've seen this team make defensively in some time, and that's the tip drill ball that McCourty made to Marquise Cole for the pick of Ryan Tannehill in the second half. That was remarkable. The fact that those two guys actually communicated on a split second notice as the ball was coming their direction and Cole yelling at him to tip it, I'll see if I can get it. I mean, you could not have set a volleyball at the net any cleaner than what McCourty did with that football. and then to have Cole able to keep his feet in bounds, 2 feet ultimately ruled in bounds to get the ball and get possession of the ball before going out of bounds with a spectacular play. It's just that was an all-timer. It just was an all-time defensive play. And again, guy like Marquise Cole who came in, play cornerback, he's been cut what? How many times this year? How many times has he been cut this year?
At least twice.
Three, I think.
Yeah, I knew it was at least twice.
And that guy steps up and makes a play. So let's throw Marquise Cole in there behind Joe Villano and Chris Jones, shall we? This is how we're going to describe the Patriots' defense. Villano, Jones, Cole. Wow. That's kind of what I wanted to focus on here in the early juncture of the program today. If you have some ideas for play calls for Josh McDaniels, I'm all ears today because I just don't know anymore. I'm not sure that Brady can get him the ball anyway. And you know how I got hammered here a few weeks ago for saying Brady's at the end of his game, or at least we're beginning to see the beginning of the end. I hated to bring it to you, but it happens to all big quarterbacks. It happens to everyone in this league. As the saying goes, how you like me now? Probably less, right? Only because I think I speak truth. I'm not sold that he's done completely. I think if Amendola continues to improve health-wise, as Gronk works himself back into the offensive mix, as maybe you get, after the bye week, you get a healthy Shane Vereen back, then I think maybe Brady can be a little bit more Brady-like. But he's as close now as he's ever been to having his full complement of weaponry, and he throws for 18 yards in the first half. Come on, people. You saw it. You tell me. Please, you tell me. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Toll free, 855-PATS-500. Hit me up on the email address as well, webradio@patriots.com. Twitter address, Twitter handle, @JRBroadcaster. And, of course, Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the spelling on the last name. Lots of different things we can do, lots of different angles we can talk about. Yes, the trading deadline is in approximately an hour and a half, 4 o'clock Eastern time. We talked a little about this last week as well. Obviously, you know, we've done the in a perfect world, who would you get? In a reasonable world, who would you get? Who would you take? I'm intrigued, I think, at this point by the rumors of Jared Allen. Now, I realize that Jared Allen, and there's been a big rumor on NFL.com, and I think Adam Schefter from ESPN has also spread this around via social media today about Allen possibly being traded to Seattle and one other team. Wow, I'd love to see the Patriots get in the mix, wouldn't you? You think that that would be worthwhile? There's also the rumors out there that persist that Gonzalez is on the trade market in Atlanta, but apparently the team isn't willing to make the move. I still think that would be worth having here in New England, especially since he's never won a ring. Here's a guy that's clearly going to the Hall of Fame. This might be his last best chance. He's retiring after this year. I wouldn't mind seeing that. We talked about that the week leading up to the Atlanta game earlier this year. There's two possibilities right there that if the Vikings and the Falcons are going to make Allen and Gonzalez open, why wouldn't the Patriots go out and get these guys? Can you give me a good reason why they wouldn't go get either one of those players? If you're a draftnik, if you're a tradenik, if you're really into the player movement thing, want to hear from you today especially. Why not Allen? Why not Gonzalez? We've heard that Josh Gordon at Cleveland might be available. We talked last week about Hakeem Nicks of the Giants might be made available for the right numbers. Well, we've got less than an hour and a half to go before the trading deadline. Obviously, if something happens between now and then, you'll hear it here. We're following all the social media that we can follow this afternoon. So if I appear a little bit distracted in the program, you'll understand some of the reason why, because I am trying to look at about seven different things as we hold a conversation here. But I'm doing it for you, too, because I want to know, you want to know, we all want to know here. So I want to talk to you today. Give me your nitpicks. I know we've got plenty of them to share. I've already shared a couple of big ones with you. I know you have yours. Now's the time. Line up. 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Outline is 508-298-0398. Fire off the email if it's easier for you to do while you're sitting at work. Webradio@patriots.com. @JRBroadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. All right, let me get gathered up here. Let me take a look at what we have. I'm going to check, refresh all of my feeds to let you know. And by the way, if you're following along via social media as well and you see something happen, don't be afraid to share with us here inside the playbook, because it's for everybody's benefit and you will get full due credit for bringing it to our attention. All right, Kev, so let's get a break in here and then let's get underway with everyone right here inside the playbook.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Tough to nitpick a win, but we managed to do that around here anyways. 27-17 over the Dolphins. We had some big winners as well. In terms of the yearbook, you know who you are.
I've seen one come in already.
One's already come in. All right, very good. And those of you who might be getting, I think one of them I know sent me a Facebook message, Kevin, that said that he listens to the show on a podcast. So
he can,
you'll get something overnight.
Yeah, he can listen and send one in overnight, and I'll get it out to him.
Right. So we'll take care of you. And believe it or not, Fred said earlier, I don't know, anybody catch this during our crossover between the two shows today? Fred said that we could give away a year's subscription to PFW.
You want to save it for game show?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. But, you know, next week's the bye week.
We'll save that as our grand prize.
So I think next week our grand prize has to be a year's subscription to Patriots Football Weekly. So we have that to look forward to. And for those that may be newcomers to the show on our bye week, when the Patriots are not playing, which will come up next week after the Steelers game this Sunday. We traditionally, either on Wednesday or Thursday, depends on the schedule, and we'll let you know no later than next Tuesday, of course. But it'll either be Wednesday or Thursday next week where we will play, you know, for the entire show, we'll play game show. And we usually like to play match game or Jeopardy or something along those lines, like I've done for years on sports talk radio programs that I've done at previous places, and we give you a chance to compete, to be the contestant on the program, and yes, we give away fabulous prizes here on the show. So you might want to make an appointment listening for the bye week next week. Wednesday or Thursday, we'll know officially on Tuesday which day it will be. A lot of it depends on the availability of our potential guest stars and panelists. And if they're available on Wednesday, we'll do it Wednesday. If they're available more on Thursday, we'll do it Thursday. It's as simple as that. But we'll have a PFW Patriots Football Weekly year-long subscription, free of charge, to give away as an ultimate prize. And I'm sure we'll give away some more yearbooks as well. And we're going to continue with, just because we gave away four this week, and again, I am going to add here, by the way, pat myself on the back, I am going to add that I was the first to predict the exact score, 27-17. Pat myself on the back. That makes me now 7-1 with the Patriots against the spread this year. 7-1. When usually 500, you're doing well, right? Okay. Now, if I actually went out and bet that, there's no way that it would happen. You know it, I know it, we all know it. So I'm not foolish enough to go and do that. Entertainment purposes only, kids. But what I will tell you, though, is that even though we gave away four yearbooks this week, we're going to continue that as well on Thursday. So it will remain Prediction Thursday. And, yes, if you get the score again, then, yes, you will win. So just to show you, it does happen. Dreams do come true. And you can win fabulous prizes listening here on the program. It's that simple. Now, Kev, I suppose that it's possible that if we give away another four or five this week, that we might have to curtail things because I don't know how big the library is.
Yeah, exactly.
So you might want to get in now while the getting is good. I'll leave it at that. All right, let's get to the phones. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. No matter where you are listening to us tonight, I'm going to lead off with Fred in Waterbury, Vermont. Fred, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm good, Fred. How's it going today?
I'm glad you can hear me. I'm using my laptop. Tried to step out for a quick moment, but I got to come back in.
All right.
John, I started listening to your show just a few weeks ago when you got real controversial saying it was time for the end of the Brady era.
Yeah.
And as an introduction, as a fanboy, I guess, man, I took that hard. But I've been listening to you ever since and checked up your bona fides. Because first off, I thought you must have just been crazy. Then I checked out your bona fides. Very legitimate. I tried to look at the reasonable part of it. Absolutely, at some point, it has to end. What I would say, though, I'll take Brady until he's 50 with a recycling cast of Matt Castles and Brian Hoyers and Ryan Mallett behind him just in case until he's 50, maybe 45 to be reasonable.
Okay, that's right. Fair.
Now, as to Jared Allen and Tony Gonzalez, if we could get either of those fellas playing, Jared Allen on our D end and Tony Gonzalez catching passes as Gronk too, probably a better Gronk, we'd be amazing. I can't, I'm going to lay off on Tom Brady and what the team's done in this season dealing with a whole lot of rookies. I feel as though each game they've progressed. Aaron Dobson is holding on to a few more than at the beginning. Remember, he couldn't hold any.
Yeah.
Now he's catching touchdowns.
Yeah.
And they're picking up some confidence. You know, when you can win ugly like this, and I think the team is getting better as the season progresses, we're going to be fine. But, I have certainly Big Vince and Gerard Mayo losing them. That's huge. You know, I'd say that's bigger. I'd say Gerard Mayo, when that fell out, things really fell out. And we could get something on the D-line to help out. You know, we got to take it.
Well, granted, a guy like Jared Allen doesn't really help you as much, only because he is an end more so than a tackle. But I'm looking at it from strictly depth, number one. And number two, they did go out and re-sign Andre Carter a week or so ago, and that's specifically why they got him. Probably a more, less expensive version of Jared Allen because he was available, and clearly he wasn't going to go anyplace else other than come back to New England. So I understand why Allen probably won't be the guy. However, as far as Gonzalez is concerned, look, to me, this kills two birds with one stone. Number one, if you're bound and determined to continue running the kind of offense that you thought you were going to run before the season, that is, with Aaron Hernandez involved, if you're bound and determined to still think that you can pull that off, why the hell wouldn't you go out and find a guy that could come in and be a better Aaron Gonzalez than Tony Gonzalez?
I absolutely concur.
I'd take it a step further
and like you've got some great athletes and great players in the NFL and just in sports generally, and some guys are not only class acts but also class athletes, and you can put Tony Gonzalez on any team and he'll make that team better.
I totally agree with you, Fred. That's to me, that's a no-brainer. If you're so, if you need to go out and get guys who make you look good, just because you're a good guy or you're good in the community or you bust your ass or whatever, then this is a guy you got to think about, especially since you're going to get him for a song and a dance. You're not even going to get him for a dance. It cost you a song. That's it.
Hey, I'm telling you what. I'm still ready for the Super Bowl in New England. The Sox are going to pull it off tomorrow night, and then we're going to finish it up with New England. Less hopeful on the Celtics.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are going to have a ways to go. But I would tell you that I think it's entirely reasonable, and this is the nature of New England fans. And Fred, being in Vermont, you're certainly right, smack dab in the middle of it.
But this is the heart of it.
Yeah, but I mean, the expectations are, well, the Red Sox can do it, then the Patriots can do it, and the Patriots can do it, then the Bruins can do it. And you know what? All three teams are competitive enough where they should probably be in the mix. All of them.
Enjoy being in the mix. You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate the phone call. That easy. 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free number. Or hit us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. What are your nitpicks? What are your nitpicks? Do we have any? I'm trying to look here. I got a couple here. Stripper sent me this one on Twitter. He says he sent me an LOL on a Yahoo story that asked a question. Maybe this is Bill Belichick's best coaching job after all. How are the Patriots 6-2 with this crummy passing game? And then he responded by saying, I got into a vicious argument on Rodgers against Brady this year. The fans are nuts. It's obvious. Brady is not that good this year. You know, Strippers, you and I have not agreed about a lot through the years. You and I probably are on opposite ends of the spectrum, being the Sooner fan that you are and the Longhorn fan that I am. But here you and I are in complete and total lockstep agreement on. Brady is not that good this year. Now, you can take that for what it's worth, you know, but as I identified a few weeks ago and got killed for, and that's fine, but as I identified a few weeks ago, fact of the matter is that his skills continue to diminish when they haven't surrounded him with savvy enough players that can make up for whatever he might be lacking in his quarterback skills. That's it. It's as simple as that. Does he still have, you know, life left in the legs? Of course he does. Hey, how about the scramble on 4th and 4 for 8 yards that kept the drive alive, you know, late in the game Sunday? That was beautiful. I actually saw a little speed. It didn't look like he was coming out of the tar pits on that one like he normally does when he starts to take off running with the football. There was a little giddy up in his hop along there. I'm loving that. I absolutely am loving that. So he does have something left in the tank. But because the coaching staff and the talent evaluation staff let him down by not surrounding him with enough weapons, there's nobody there that can make Tom look good. You know, Gronk is still working back into shape. Amendola is an accident waiting to happen. Vereen is hurt, and Ridley can't hold on to the ball. Now, what do you have? Oh, and let's also put Dobson in that category. Can't hold on to the ball. And all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, Kimbrell Tompkins hasn't been targeted as much either. So what's up with that? Is he getting the attention from the defense, or the Patriots just not targeting Tompkins? I think it's probably a little of both, but it may also be the fact that, you know, since Brady's Binky is back in Gronk, he's not being targeted as much. At least based on what I've seen, that's what it appears to be. Rashad just sent this on Twitter. So, JR Broadcaster, how do we get the Patriot yearbook? I guessed the score correctly, 27-17. All right, well, Rashad, you're the one that I didn't actually didn't count. So that may be a fifth one, Kev. As we set off the top of the show, you tuned in too late. You better go back and listen. Send an email to webradio@patriots.com. Subject line, yearbook winner. Send your address into Kevin, and he'll take care of you by the end of the week. So there you go. That's how you get it. Couple of other really good questions here. From Foxborough Free Press on Twitter. Folks still don't get Blunt and why he's here, but I feel he's a vital part of the team. Can you discuss that? I actually started off a little bit earlier today about that with that very subject. Fact of the matter is that Blunt is not your every down back. It's got to be Ridley, but Blunt still has very much usefulness when used in the right spots. But why you would ever send him on a sweep is beyond me. Teams are too quick, and they cut him down at the legs. He can't turn the corner. Blunt needs to be used between the tackles or maybe a round tackle. But when you're trying to go around in, it ain't happening. And why they call those plays is beyond me. And it's one of the things about Josh McDaniels that absolutely just flabbergasts me. Nobody else feels the same way about the play calling like I do? Really? You're okay with it? Really? Free Press also says, excellent rookie play on D, Jones, Villano, Ryan, Harmon, Collins, Buchanan. No Bo Harness, tough kid. Well, he hasn't been active, so he can't play. So I don't know why no Bo Harness. You know, it's a numbers game. The other guys, you know, and the depth in the other areas they need. I mean, they're relatively healthy depth-wise at linebacker with, you know, especially with the Mayo injury notwithstanding. So, you know, Bo Harness plays inside. They've kind of got the inside linebacker spot, you know, taken care of. If somebody else gets hurt, well, then Bo Harness probably moves into that mix. Next man up, remember? But, yeah, I mean, already talked about Jones and Villano. Logan Ryan's another one. I just got hit up on Facebook about that as well. Don't forget about Logan Ryan, playmaker. No question. The kid has come in. He didn't play, really, in the entire first half, and then he comes into the second half and makes plays. Makes plays. 2 weeks in a row now that he's made plays, big plays. So you'd have to say that Ryan is now playing his way into the process to where he's going to be a vital part of the team. I'd like to see him in there, you know, in nickel situations, coverage situations. I'd love to see it. I think he deserves it. I think Marquise Cole deserves it. I think Kyle Arrington is back in the doghouse after having such a great start to the year. Now I don't think he can cover his way out of a paper bag. So let's see some of these young guys do it. They're making plays. They deserve to be in there. Let's go. That goes the same thing for Collins, too. Jamie Collins. We saw more time with him. Great. Make plays. You'll be in there. Now, as far as Josh Boyce, who Free Press also asked about, why no Boyce redshirting till next year or in development to be unleashed later in the season? I wish I could answer that. Activated this week as well. He was a healthy scratch along with Bo Harness. I guess they just feel like the other guys are further along. I don't know if that means that it's wait till next year or if that means he could be unleashed later in the year. I can only tell you that if there's another injury that happens, it's, again, probably similar to Bo Harness. It's next man up. And right now he's behind the others, and that's why no Boyce. I still would love to see Boyce in there as a kick returner, but the problem with that is twofold. Number one, he doesn't play elsewhere on special teams. And again, the Patriots need to have guys that can play more than just one way. Hence, that's why you see a guy like Blunt, because he's in there in the rotation in the backfield anyway. They really can't spare the roster spot for a guy that's going to do nothing but return kicks. And when more than half, probably three quarters of your kickoffs are through the back of the end zone for touchbacks anyway, what good is he really going to do? So I guess I've kind of answered my own question about why Josh Boyce isn't back there. So that's all part of it. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free line. 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Let's see. The email account is blanked out on me, Kev, so we can fix that when we get a chance here. Let me see what else we have on social media today. Mary Beth says, nitpick, Patriots fans booing their own team at home. That's disgusting. Well, I'd like to tell you, Mary Beth, that I also would agree with you, but frankly, this is the professional ranks. This is the NFL. And when guys play for pay, they open themselves up to criticism to fans who pay hundreds of dollars to see them play. This isn't the college ranks like you get at Syracuse, although some would argue maybe some at Syracuse get paid in their own way just as much. I understand your feelings. I understand that you're a fan. I understand that booing probably really does not accomplish a lot. But I would tell you that fans pay a heavy nut to come to these games. They have a right to see an effort out on the field, and there was no effort. Zero effort. I'm sorry. I said zero effort. Yes, I know some guys were out there, but I didn't see much effort at all from anyone in the first half on Sunday. Zero. So the fans had a right to boo. If I'd been a fan, I would have booed. And if any of those players is completely honest with themselves, if they were fans, they'd have booed. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. So I understand your nitpick, but you know, how else are you going to boo? I mean, you know, you're not going to get booed on the road. They're going to get cheered because they stink. So you know, I don't know what to tell you. Derek says on Facebook, John, I think Bill is taking the discipline thing too far. I understand that you need discipline, but come on, if you keep benching players allegedly for minor indiscretions, surely you will eventually cut your nose off to spite your face. I mean, what's wrong with a fine? There's nothing wrong with a fine, Derek. You know, that's in baseball, if you miss something, what happens? It usually go in front of the kangaroo court, and, you know, there's, you know, your fellow, your peers, your teammates, they're the judge and the jury, and then you pay something in the kitty that goes to charity at the end of the year or for the team party or what have you. You know, baseball has handled that for years. Now, maybe because of what happened with the whole, you know, bounty gate thing that happened with the Saints a couple of years ago, that guys are reluctant to do that now. I don't know. Because I guess things could be misconstrued or misunderstood. But generally, guys in the locker room should take care of that amongst themselves. I mean, you screw up, you know, okay, you owe us a little something-something, right? I would agree with you that, you know, why Ridley isn't in there is beyond my complete and total understanding of the situation. You cannot tell me with a straight face that LeGarrette Blount is a better back than Stephen Ridley. He's different. He's also good at times. He is not the every down back that this team needs to be successful offensively. You can't tell me that. There's no amount of football expertise that any coach on that staff or anybody in this organization can tell me with a straight face is truthful. It's not. We see it. I see it. You see it. Why is it happening? This is the crux of the play calling problems that I have right now. Why is he in there? He doesn't need to be. Are they rewarding, you know, him for a solid week of practices? Great. Guess what? There's your reward for a solid week of practices. Now get your ass out there and play. It's your job. You should be expected to do your job. These guys shouldn't have to be patted on the back or patted on the rump or whatever for doing their job. They're paid handsomely to do their job. So the whole discipline thing is nuts, if that's what it is. It's nuts. And if it's not discipline, that if you really think that Ridley isn't as good as Blount, then I highly, highly question your evaluation skills. That's ridiculous. And honestly, I mean, I like LeGarrette Blount. I like him a lot. I think he's pretty good. I'm glad he's on this team. I like Stephen Ridley better. Dave in Lancaster, California says, here's my nitpick. Not throwing the ball to Cambrell Tompkins. He made the game-winning catch to beat the Saints and has been phased out since then. He's talented. Would be a waste if they stopped developing him. I was wrong with my score, but I was right about the six sacks. Can I get the media guide? Nice try, Dave. You know, I think you've got a good nitpick. They're not even targeting Tompkins, and part of that is because, like I said, you know, TB12's Binky's back. That's a shame. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, Brady's fault for checking down and not going Tompkins' way, or if that's, you know, McDaniel's fault for not, you know, having him in the mix on a play call. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Stripper sends this note on email. He says, this was discussed. Lots of Patriots fans think Tom is still better than Aaron Rodgers. I think they are crazy. This season, Rodgers is better than Brady, no doubt. You know, I don't even know that that's an argument, Strippers. And again, I'm going to take your side of the story here. But I think especially those that have listened to this program, and as our friend from Vermont who called in a short while ago said, you know, I gave him some agita a few weeks ago, he's come to realize that maybe there's something to this. And I think you, as a Patriots fan who's observed this, even try to put aside your red, white, and blue cap here for a moment and look at it from a statistical point of view. Numbers don't usually lie. Where does Tom rank percentage? Where does Tom rank in the red zone? Where does Tom rank in yards passing? Touchdowns thrown? Where does he rank? Oh, lower half, lower third, next to last? Okay. Now, it's not all Brady, okay? But for anybody to step up and say he's still a better quarterback than, say, either Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers right now, you're completely and totally going on career as opposed to what have you done for me lately. And that's fine. If you want to evaluate that way, I certainly respect that. And I think there is certainly validity to that. But it's not the entire story. And it's not the entire picture for this year. And this is the problem. The Patriots did not, and I've said this several times, and I'll say it again, they did not properly prepare. Now, again, they got thrown for a loop in the whole Aaron Hernandez thing. I realize that can take you out of your game plan, you know, pretty quickly. But there should be enough smarts on this team to draw something up different. I mean, hey, I've put sticks and bottle caps in the dirt and drawn up plays just like you have. You'd think that a guy like Josh McDaniels, with his pedigree and his coaching and his ability and his matriculation under this very staff himself, can come up with something that can take advantage for somebody somewhere. And yet I don't see it and haven't seen it yet. And on top of that, Brady's throwing behind people. He's got the yips. He's got a swollen hand, which we've all seen, and he's deflected. But that's a factor. It's a factor, kids. He's lying. He's fibbing to you. He's fibbing to us. He's fibbing to all of us. It's a factor. So he's got all these problems, and to his credit, he's trying not to make excuses. And I think that's tremendous. That's the kind of guy Brady is. And I'll still take, you know, 11 Tom Brady's, you know, any day. You know, with his, you know, professionalism, if not his ability. Fact of the matter is, though, it's a factor. And so he's not having his best year. He's surrounded by guys that he doesn't have quite the confidence in just yet. And the offensive coordinator isn't doing anything to help him out. It's amazing. I mean, really, this is a story in the National Football League this year, that this Patriot football team, as pathetic as they are on offense, is 6-2. I don't know how they're doing it. I just don't know how they're doing it. Brian in Essex, Vermont. Look, John, I'm really getting tired of hearing that Gronk was rushed back under pressure. He wasn't. His injury healed. The problem was the plate created pressure points in his arm. He knew this before being activated. He knew the risks, because we all knew the risks, even if you and Eric and everyone else refuses to admit it. Gronk made the choice in that vein. Maybe it would have been better for Gronk to be concerned over his long-term health last year, which wouldn't have impacted the team for so long this year. Well, that I agree with. Brian says, I don't care what their record is right now. That's not the point. People incorrectly pile the blame on the Patriots organization when you know damn well Gronk would have been told this information just like it was reported to the media at the time by the orthopedist. Or do you think this is the absolute only example ever of your average Joe's insurance and doctors being better than an NFL organization? Because, sorry, that's just a fallacy. Worst case scenario is always given by the docs. The only blame I lay at the Patriots' feet is not putting Gronk on IR after the first break. That's it. The rest was completely up to Gronk. If he succumbed to the pressure, that's on him. It's not like he hasn't shown us in the past 7 weeks that he's more than willing to ignore pressure. Fair points, Brian. Fair points. Brian, Isle of Man. There are a lot of reasons why the Pats won the game on Sunday, but I like to think that it was because I found my lucky game ball. I went to get it when we were losing, and when I got back to watching the game with the ball, I sat down and the Fins missed the field goal. Might sound silly, but it's true. Even though we have all the injuries and are generally not playing well, we are 6-2. Imagine how we would be playing if we had no injuries and could catch passes. I have complete faith in the team and the coaches and don't see why we can't win the Super Bowl. To all those doubting fans, keep the faith. Well, you are the ultimate fan. I give you a lot of credit. That's very good. Very good. Brian, that's you are to be congratulated for your stick-to-itiveness, let's say. There's probably something to that. Matt says on Facebook, he says, John, I think it would make sense for the Patriots to go out and get any of the three big names, Allen, Gordon, Gonzalez, even Nix, but as we know, Belichick values draft picks too much to do any of that. Each of them are looking like the team wants a second, and I don't think BB will go after any of them for a two. I personally would go a 2 for Gordon or Nix, probably a 4 or 5 for Gonzalez or Allen. It would make sense, but I don't expect any movement from the Patriots in terms of trades, but I more or less expect them to pull one of the midseason waiver wire purges that we have seen in recent years. Then they get something potentially for nothing. Matt, I kind of agree. I think we're all kind of hoping that maybe they could pull an Aqib Talib out of the fire for a late-round draft pick like they did last year, with Tampa. But you're probably right. They're probably going to go the cheap route. I think they're a little bit burned, even though they're still under the cap. I think they're burned by having to come up with the nut to still pay Aaron Hernandez's, contract on the salary cap for next year. So there's something to that. And I think that they're being penny wise, so they're not pound foolish, to borrow a well-worn cliche. So probably something to that. Although, frankly, I'm just so sick of I got to admit, I'm frustrated like anybody else here, but I'm so sick of we need to build, we knew this, we knew that. The time is now, kids. If we haven't seen this year, then you're never going to see it. Forget the building. The time is now. Your window is closing on the Brady era. Bottom line. Anybody that sees it isn't looking. Your eyes aren't open. Or you don't want to admit it. And you're following blindly. And you know what? I can't argue with that. That's okay. That's what fans do. I get it. I'm a fan, but I also try to look at it analytically. That's my job. I try to raise points. I try to put out the good with the bad so we can all have discussion, we can have discourse, and we can have arguments, and we can have agreements. It's all about, getting out there and sharing the information on this football team. Right now, it's got a lot of troubles, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And with some of the healthy pieces coming back, we had an all-time worst half of football. And the only reason the Patriots were able to come back and win on Sunday was because the defense started it all. So I don't know what else to tell you. I think you got to go for it now. I think you have to win at all costs now. If this means mortgaging the future, this is a question that I would like to point to each and every one of you right now. If you could win a Super Bowl this year and then take 2 years of missing the playoffs, would you do it? Let me repeat myself. If you could make a deal today that will guarantee you in the Super Bowl, I don't know that you can make that, but let's just say what if. You make a deal today that puts you in the Super Bowl, but the penalty, the price you have to pay, is missing the playoffs for the next 2 years. Do you do that? 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Let's get another break in here. Then I want to hear from you. Do you make the deal? Do you mortgage the future for instant success in the present? That's coming up in the playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices
prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
All right, as we roll along here in the playbook, are you willing to mortgage the future for a shot at fame and fortune in the present? If you could make a deal by the trading deadline, which is now in approximately 40 minutes, little under that now. If you could make a deal But your penalty, your price to pay, is to miss out on the playoffs for the next couple of years. Do you still make it? Adam Schefter just tweeted a couple of minutes ago, the Giants never wavered. They are keeping wide receiver Hakeem Nicks. So that's not going to happen here. That's one of them. Anyway, Nicks is sticking around. Looking at some of the others that may be out and about, nothing else has evolved. The latest on Tony Gonzalez has NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reporting that the Falcons had no interest in trading Gonzalez, even though he would be willing to go to help the team. The Falcons don't want to let him go. So apparently the Falcons, who are 2-5, are not going to let him go, even if they feel that they could get something in exchange for him, which he says he'd be ready to go if they felt like he'd get something for him. Gonzalez told ESPN, everybody out there needs to understand that I'm not naive to it. As I see it, this is the last 9 weeks of my career. Right now, things are looking, well, you never know. Like I said, I love my guys on this team too much to go ask for a trade. It would be something that would come from them where they said, hey, makes sense, because we could get something good for you and send you to a team that's a contender. So I understand the thought process behind that. I know that the Kansas City Chiefs were apparently also keeping an eye out for Gonzalez for his potential return there. But at any rate, that's the latest on Tony Gonzalez that I can tell you. That was as of right about an hour ago was the last that I got on Gonzalez. Kenny Britt, I know his name had come open earlier in the year as a potential trade possibility if the Patriots would have any interest in bringing him in. And there were some thoughts that maybe he wouldn't exactly be the team kind of guy that you'd want to bring in. But nobody wants him, and I think that's the problem. Last night on NFL Total Access, Michael Silver said, if you have a 12-pack of Coke and athletic tape, you can have Kenny Britt. Nobody wants him. Britt told reporters yesterday and told the Tennessean newspaper that it would be great to stay as long as they're giving me opportunities that I should get, especially since I've been working hard and doing the right things out there. See, now think about that for a second. Think about what he just said. As long as they're giving me opportunities that I should get, especially since I've been working hard and doing the right things out there. What does that tell you about the dude's mindset? Wants to be patted on the back for doing his job. You really want that here? Didn't we get rid of that with Randy Moss a few years ago? Britt also said, going somewhere else and having a fresh start would be good also. But where my mind is right now is probably just staying here because everything is here, my family's here, stuff like that. But here's the thing about Britt. He's been benched. He's committed penalties. He's dropped the ball. Do you really want that here in New England? I would say that the answer to that would probably be no. But again, I'm putting out names, you know, that have been, you know, up for discussion as we near the trading deadline just a little bit closer. Let's see what else we have here. Let me see if I can get to here we go. Brian, email, says, I think it's pretty obvious why Bill Belichick is making or has made what we perceive as questionable disciplinary calls over the past several weeks. I think you need only to take a look into the past off season for that and to the player for whom we'll never mention again. With Brady and his receivers, I think, yes, some of the blame is certainly to be put on Brady, but I also think there's some blame to be laid at the feet of the receivers who are struggling to get open. Yes, I realize there have been instances where Brady has zeroed in on a certain receiver and completely ignored wide-open targets. And that's why some of this gets laid on Brady. But the fact is, the rookie wide receivers aren't exactly living up to their draft position either. Well, you can say that in Dobson's case. Tompkins was a free agent, all right? So I wouldn't exactly call that a draft position. The fact that they're arguably getting beaten by an unrestricted free agent should exemplify that. Precisely, Brian. I also think that part of the blame rests with Belichick, because let's face it, he's made the offense so complex that a mere handful of receivers who we won't move up in the draft to get are capable of wrapping their heads around in a time frame commensurate with what Brady has left in his career. You ask why this team is 6-2, and it's because the defense is stepping up where the offense is not, which is the polar opposite of what's happened in recent years, and let's face it, it's kind of refreshing. It'd be really nice if the O-line could protect Brady a bit, and if Brady and his receivers could be a little more consistent. But it is what it is. Good email. Very good email, Brian. All right. Like the comments, and certainly can agree with most of them here. All right. Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm okay, man. How are you?
I'm okay. I like to win, but I'm like you. But I've been saying that for about 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't have been saying.
Mm-hmm.
Never had nobody on the outside. And the line, you know, it is what, like you said, it is what it is. And I don't see why they haven't addressed it yet. They play good sometimes because it's a defensive front that ain't so aggressive. But the ones that are aggressive, we get our butt kicked every time.
Yeah.
And Brady is handsome. And I got so mad Sunday. Yeah, I'm like their first call or their first email. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wide open target, but he keeps zeroing in on Bronk and Amendola. I mean, I've seen Dobson open. I've seen Thompson open a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which guy? Them got three guys around him. He's gonna try to force it in there. He's not Megatron because he ain't there yet.
Right.
You know, he's good, but he ain't got there yet because he's not in football shape. So why not use your other option? Use him as a decoy like they did Bronk. What other option? Free up. But then again, I gotta understand this side too, where the receiver's not winning one on one all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't winning 50% of the time. If you look at the game, you know, and he's just gotta fit it in, whatever, and his hand is a problem. I'm a big Brady fan, but I will mortgage the house, the farm, the yard, whatever, to get there this year. First, second round picks, they gone. Third, they gone.
Yeah, so you're ready to mortgage the future as long as you get a W this year.
As long as I get a Super Bowl win this year.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I frankly believe that most people will agree with you, Eldridge.
Yeah, because it's short, man. You can look at Brady is getting killed. Like you said a couple weeks ago, Brady is getting killed, and he's ducking. I mean, he's ducking more than I've seen Brady in the last 10, 11 years.
Yep.
He's ducking. Because he's getting killed.
Yeah, he is.
You know, this time it's his hand. Next time might be a real ball leg. You never know. But they are killing him. And receivers ain't helping that much either. Defensive-wise, man, every time we go back on defense, if Talib ain't back there, I hold my breath. Because first half of last week's game, I'm like, man, can y'all cover somebody? Can y'all hit somebody? But I'm glad they recovered in the second half. I'm glad they did that. I just hope to leave you back Sunday when we play the Steelers, because Brown and Sanders ain't no joke.
Can't argue with that.
Even though they're 2-8 or 2-whatever, 2-6, they ain't no joke. And Ben is Big Ben, you know, and he can throw it, he can put it there.
That's also true.
He's off his game too, but they desperate, and they're coming in for a fight. They ain't coming in to lay down. They're coming in for a fight.
Right. Right.
And I'm, like I said, I'm just worried.
Well,
but yes, sir.
Third
round.
Yep. All right. That's fair. And by the way, I just got this from NFL Rap Sheet. To sum up the responses I'm getting from NFL people as the deadline approaches.
Still ain't doing nothing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I can understand the talent evaluation. I mean, I just can't understand it, you know, because I've been saying this for the last 2 years. We had a shot at Reuben Randall, didn't get him.
Yeah.
Had a shot at, I don't know which call, Cordell or Patterson, they didn't go to this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's making a little play, but Hunter and everybody else is making plays. Jeffries is making plays. Had a shot at Jeffries of the year. Didn't get him. Cornerbacks, they shot at some couple of them. Norris Jenkins, didn't get them. You know, and you need those. I just don't understand. I just don't understand evaluation.
Well, I think but, that I think that the whole evaluation process, Eldridge, is open to criticism, especially if things personnel wise really don't improve. But the bottom line here is that this team is 6-2, and I think that you'll probably see a lot of that undersold and will be dealt with in the offseason, because right now they're just trying to piece things together week to week. What I want to see out of these guys, and thanks for the call, I want to see improvement week to week on the play calling and the selection of those plays, because they're not putting the guys that they have, I think, in the best position to be successful. And as I've already had a couple of emailers suggest, the reason this team is 6-2 is because of the opportunistic play of the defense in spite of the huge injuries that they've had on that side of the ball. So what the hell is the offense's problem here? They're getting people back. And the crux of the matter on offense, in my opinion, and you kind of led to that, Eldridge, the crux of the problem on offense is the play of the offensive line has not been good. And now you've just lost one of the best tackles in the game, especially right tackles, in Sebastian Vollmer. Gone for the year, broken leg. Marcus Cannon's not going to move into his slot. Yes, you have the depth. But the offensive line hasn't played all that well anyway. The only significant thing here is that, hey, Vollmer is actually healthy. He'd played every game this year thus far. I don't think that's happened in his entire NFL career. In fact, I know it hasn't. Now that you had him healthy, you lost him. Next man up. Here's Xavier in Providence. Xavier, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
But I'm going to talk about one of two of my nitpicks.
Okay.
I agree with what you said earlier with not starting Stephen Ridley. And if you can see what happened in the second half, you know Stephen Ridley, I mean, I like Lance McGarrett once, but Stephen Ridley is faster, shiftier, and he can make people miss. So I really don't understand why, he's starting. I understand he fumbles a lot, but that doesn't make any sense to me. And number two is the play calling with Josh McDaniels. It's just terrible. It's terrible. I don't understand why they're not throwing a screen to running backs, which I know he's famous for, throwing a lot of screens to running backs, throwing the ball to the running backs. I know they don't have Shane Vereen, but come on now. Like, the play calling is just horrible. They're not running the ball when I know that's like the strength of the offense. Running the ball.
You'd like to see them try to get the ball to the backs more?
Exactly. I mean, I know they don't have Shane Vereen, who's one of the best. You know, he got good hands, but I would love for them to run the ball more, and I would love for them to throw more screens to them, because that's what they do. I mean, they did that with Kevin Falk.
Yeah, they did. I think you obviously they'll have to be able to go downfield first in order to make that kind of play work. And when Vereen does come back in a couple of weeks, and we have every reason to believe that he will, because he's eligible to come back after week 8, then, and of course the Patriots will have a bye week, so it'll be 2 weeks now before he actually would be back out there. But, when he's back out there, don't you think that other teams are going to think that, well, the ball's going to come his way, so they're going to be looking for it? You got to throw it to somebody else to make it work.
No, exactly, but that's why I think they should make a push to get Tony Gonzalez if the Falcons are willing to, trade for him. Because they can go back to their two tight end set so they can run the ball.
I agree.
And teams will be worried about them running the ball, and then they can do play action and throw the ball downfield to whoever, whoever it is.
How about this? How about if you actually had Tony Gonzalez in the red zone? Don't you think the Patriots would be literally unstoppable between him and Gronkowski?
Of course, because basically teams will have to worry about stopping them both. That'll leave Tompkins or whoever it is on the outside wide open. So I just think they should make a push for him. I would give a third-round pick for him. I really don't care. They need to win now. I agree with what you said about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's window is closing. They should have that winning mentality now because, who knows? Tom Brady might not be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Xavier, I happen to agree with you, bud. I would like to have seen them. I was a little cool on it earlier in the year, especially around the time that the Patriots played the Falcons. I'm kind of like, it'd be nice, but I don't think they need him. They're going to get Gronk back, yada, yada. But now that we've gone through this process a few more weeks and we've seen the offense's inability to adjust and adapt to the personnel that they currently have and the talents of that personnel, then let's go back to doing things the way that you had them when you had Aaron Hernandez here. And let's insert Tony Gonzalez in that slot, as I said earlier in the show today. And let's be, absolutely unstoppable in the red zone. You want to out-offense Denver? That would be one way to do it. Because if you had those two guys at tight end, and you had both Ridley and Vereen in the backfield as options, and you still have, you know, wide receivers that, as long as they hold on to the ball, can be somewhat effective and stay relatively healthy. Now you're talking about an offense basically in line to do exactly what they thought it was capable of doing before the whole, you know, offseason crap happened with Hernandez. It's the same offense. You would be literally unstoppable. Teams would have to choose their poison as how they wanted to die. That's what they would have to do if you were able to go out and do that. You should make that deal, especially since you're only going to give up a low-round draft pick probably to do it. The problem is Atlanta. They have insisted they're not going to make the deal. They want to keep him. I think that's foolish. And especially because you have a relationship, keep in mind, with Thomas Dimitroff. All right. Remember, he was with the Patriots. He is the Falcons general manager. This is a guy that you can go to and say, look, you guys aren't going anywhere. You're 2-5. We think we can win the game. We're 6-2. We need to prepare for this. What would you take? You want a 3? Fine. You want a 4? Fine. You want 2 picks? Maybe. But you should make that deal. I agree with it, and I've warmed up to it in the last couple of days. And today, I think, as we're 20 minutes away or so from the deadline, I think they should pull the trigger. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. They have 20 minutes to get this done, so that way we can have, you know, one of the best offenses we have in a long time. Because I agree with you, our red zone offense sucks. They need to do something about that.
Think about it, though. Here's another thing you can think about, though, Xavier. Here's another thing. If you've got another target like Gonzalez, who you know can go get it and can catch it once it's thrown to him, how much easier does that make life for the offensive line? We've already talked about today, and we've talked about over the last few weeks, how the offensive line is struggling to keep Brady clean. He was sacked, what, another 4 times this week against the Dolphins? So that's now 17 times he's gone down in the last 4 weeks. They're going to get him killed. He's on pace. You know, no wonder he's got a swollen hand. He's probably got a few other things swollen that he's not talking about. So if you're got another target out there where he can get rid of the ball in theory more quickly, you're going to keep him cleaner because the offensive line doesn't have to block as long. I mean, it's so incredibly insane. It's so easy. And yet nobody wants to do it. I'm pulling my hair out on this one. Nobody wants to pull the trigger. I just want somebody to pull the trigger on something that makes sense for once. That's the big frustration here.
Well, that's all I have for you today.
Thanks, buddy. It's good stuff.
By the way, we have some breaking news on Twitter. Schefter is tweeting that it sounds like the New England Patriots are close to trading for Eagles defensive tackle Isaac Sopoaga, I believe. I'm trying not to butcher the name.
Yeah, Sopoaga. That's exactly right. Isaac Sopoaga, looking here, signed a 3-year deal with the Eagles. He's making $1 million this year. He stands to make 3.75 in 14 and 3.5 in 2015.
An interesting tidbit, too, by Rap Sheet over here, that the Patriots' trade for Tlaib came with about a minute left in the deadline. We have about 20 minutes left till the deadline.
All right.
And we'll stay on the air here right up till 4 o'clock to see if this happens.
Right. All right. So Sopoaga could be
some help in the middle.
Some help in the middle of the defensive line.
Yep, with Kelly and Wilfork.
Kelly and Wilfork. Now, this tells me two things. Number one, that the Patriots still identify their defensive front as one of their primary needs. Number two, Tommy Kelly may not be coming back. Because I really believe if Tommy Kelly or Armand Armstead, who's been the great ghost on this Patriots roster this year, if either one of those guys were ready to come back in the next week or two, Kev, do you really think that they'd be making this move? I don't.
I don't think so either.
So I think that's partly why you see this, why Sopoaga's name has come out. So that's come out.
You know,
Mike Reese is also now tweeting that as well from ESPN Boston.
Yeah, the counter to that would be that, well, then why isn't Kelly on IR? And I think that the hope is that with, you know, maybe this week of rest, then the bye week of rest, the hope is that maybe you can add Kelly back into the mix in the last 3-4 games of the season and maybe into the playoffs. But at his age and at that position, you don't know what he's going to be on that
right
on that injury. So
right,
there's a lot of question marks in the middle of that line. And this would be, I can't, I'd be lying to you, John, if I said I've watched this guy play a lot. We don't see a ton of the Eagles, and I haven't.
No,
watched
I
him
mean
play
I'm,
a lot, but by all but. By the tweets that we're reading here, he seems like a pretty respected player.
Yeah. Schefter just put out there 4 minutes ago, sounds like they're close to trading for him. He also just tweeted the Broncos are not in on Vikings defensive end Jared Allen. So the options there for Allen are diminishing.
I think the problem with Jared Allen is he just makes too much money.
Probably.
I saw a graphic, John, in the game. I think they played Green Bay on Sunday night. I was watching and flipping between that and the World Series, and a graphic threw up on the screen for NBC was that he's due $7.5 million still on his contract for the remainder of this year,
mm-hmm.
which is just a ton of money. And he has been very public in saying that if he is traded, he's not going to take a pay cut. He expects every penny of that $7.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it's a realistic thing to expect an NFL team to pay $7.5 million for Jared Allen for less than half a season. I don't think you're going to get that.
Right. All right, a little more on Sopoaga. Isaac Sopoaga, and I don't know yet if that's the correct pronunciation of the first name. I suppose I'll have to learn it if the trade comes through here. He is currently with the Eagles. He was taken by the 49ers back in the 04 NFL draft, so he's certainly been around for a while. He's one of those typical defensive linemen that, seems to be there, but is kind of taken for granted. Although, as Kevin mentioned, I think his pro career, has been undervalued at least a little bit, but he certainly seems respected.
Sorry to interrupt you. Jay Glazer just tweeted 10 seconds ago, Eagles trade Sopoaga and a sixth round pick to the Patriots for a fifth round pick.
So they get Sopoaga and a sixth.
Yes.
For a fifth.
Fifth, yes.
In return.
Which seems like a steal. I don't know how that.
Right.
Is that a salary dump? It must be a salary dump.
All right. So Jay Glazer just tweeting that out. Jay Glazer from Fox Sports.
Yes.
That
to me, John, reeks of a salary dump if that's all the Patriots are giving up. And the Patriots have this much room left under the cap. And the Eagles, two injured quarterbacks, not really going anywhere. That, to me, reeks of
they're dumping salary. Well, I mentioned his salary earlier, and he's on the books for only $1 million this year, but $3.75 million next year and $3.5 million in 2 years.
Yes. Now here we go.
So that means he is signed for two more years.
So this makes more sense. Breer is tweeting that the Patriots will send fifth and sixth round pick to the Eagles for Sopoaga, which would make more sense to me. What I'm thinking is that Glazer has a typo in his tweet, because his reads that the Patriots are getting a sixth and the player for a fifth.
For a fifth.
Which to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's actually a pretty good deal. So they're still looking to replace a later round pick.
Yes. So it looks like Breer is now tweeting as of like 15 seconds ago that the Patriots are giving two picks, a fifth and a sixth round to the Eagles for the player.
All right.
That would make more sense.
It probably would, although I frankly love the first scenario better because the Patriots, in fact, are taking the salary off the Eagles' hands. So something to be said for that as well, and then you can understand why the Patriots would say, hey, ship us a player too, and we'll take the salary off his hands.
Yeah, let me read Eagles' sense of why. So the Patriots for a fifth round. So the pick, their 2014
breaking
picks.
News.
Yeah, so now I think the way that I'm reading it, and you know how Twitter works.
Yes.
Everyone's on phones.
Right.
And so there's tons of typos and
correct.
All that stuff.
Correct.
Field Yates is sticking to his gun saying that the Patriots are getting the sixth round pick and the player for a fifth round pick. So I'm going to go with that.
All right. So we've got conflicting reports on the compensation, but we've had at least two reporters now saying that the Patriots are receiving Isaac Sopoaga, and a sixth round pick in return for a fifth round pick
and Reese,
to Philadelphia.
Reese is jumping on saying that it is, the Patriots getting the player
and the pick
and the pick.
All right.
Eagles report that and this is coming from the Eagles, according to Reese. Eagles report that they have traded defensive tackle Isaac Sopoaga and sixth round pick, so both, to the Patriots for a fifth round pick. So
right.
I like that deal.
I like that deal. That's a good deal. Gives you it replaces a later round pick, which the Patriots value. They value all of their picks, which is tough for them to give up anything unless they have something multiple. Last year they were able to get Tlaib because they had multiple selections. This year they don't have any multiple selections. So why do you think they're asking for a pick back? So they replace the pick they're giving up, pretty much. Sopoaga, taken in the fourth round by the 49ers in 04, but he missed the entire year with an injury. He got moved to defensive end for a brief while in his career. He started at left defensive end, I think, in fact, in San Francisco as recently as 2010, because the 49ers are playing a 3-4 defense. He's also lined up in the backfield as a fullback in the past. Let's see what else. And he signed a 3-year, $12 million deal with the Eagles, this past March.
So they'll have him for a while if they want.
Yes. Well, like I said, they've got the rest of this year, which they owe about $1 million left on his deal.
Yeah.
And then they've got the next 2 years, which come in at about $7.25 million.
And I'm not calling the Eagles the best talent evaluators here, but if you're going to give a guy a commitment of 3 years, $12 million, he's going to be at least worth something.
Well, certainly he's worth something. You know, so I guess the Eagles clearly feel that they're not going anywhere.
No.
And B, they want to dump the salary themselves.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This to me reeks of a salary dump if all you're giving up is basic, or all you're getting is really a late round pick, and you're giving up one of your own late round picks.
All right. Do you have any initial reaction? We've got basically 10, 12 minutes left of the program here and before the trading deadline. But do you have initial reaction to the Patriots trading for Isaac Sapuaga of the Philadelphia Eagles? And again, he just came to the Eagles this past March. And now all of a sudden he's a member, apparently, of the New England Patriots. Sapuaga coming for a fifth-round pick, and the Patriots receiving Sapuaga and a sixth-round pick in return from Philadelphia. There you go. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number, webradio at patriots.com, the email. And you can find us on Twitter, at JRBroadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook.
So our show turned out to be more exciting than we thought.
Hey, we had some breaking news. Breaking news. Like it. All right, get back to a couple of other messages that we have in here. Michael says on Facebook, in previous weeks, yet again, the offensive line is a nitpick. Enough said on that one. Josh McDaniels needs to improve his play calling, develop the run, utilize the short pass game as complementary to the run. He has a different problem that needs discussion. He doesn't know his personnel well and is focusing too much on his guys. Tom is older, like you've brought up. Amendola was with him. He tried the Salas experiment, wanted Tebow here. Josh needs to learn other players, their skills, and then utilize the skills of those players. As for the game, the team took it for granted they could win. Someone lit a match during halftime in the locker room. I agree. You have asked how this team is 6-2. The game is a numbers game in which the result focuses on more points on the scoreboard than the other team. The defense is doing its job to keep the opponent to fewer points, such that the mediocre offense is putting up enough points. You know, that's an interesting point right there at the end of your argument, Michael, because now the Patriots would appear to think that we still need to step up our game defensively because our defense is our strong suit. So let's improve this defensive side of the ball. We saw what they're capable of doing in the second half against Miami this past Sunday. And knowing that we're not going to get Tommy Kelly back, knowing that Vince Wilfork is gone, knowing that there's probably going to be no Armand Armstead either,
yep,
we still need help for the rookies on the defensive line in Villano and Jones, and Sopawag is the guy.
So just a little more insight too, John. When you look at Chris Jones and Joe Villano, body type, those are two guys. Jones listed at 302, Villano listed at 300. I don't believe Villano's 300 pounds when I look at him. I think he's less. This is a different type of player in Sapuaga, 330 pounds, more like Vince, a space eater in the middle, and a guy that can play that 3-4 nose tackle position as opposed to a 4-3 if they want to go back that route.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a very good point. What this does then is it will give them some flexibility. And we know that while they have moved from time to time, guys like Chandler Jones to the inside, and Jones had another great game this past Sunday, overall against Miami. This continues to give them that run stuffer, that can at least be the point of attack and allow, you know, guys like, you know, Hightower and, Spikes to back them up and do what they're best at rather than have to be necessarily in coverage. All right, Brian says, Michael Girardi just reported that Sapuaga is ranked 37th amongst tackles, Villano 11th, Chris Jones 30th against the run. That's from Pro Football Focus. Steve in Killeen says, if the Pats could pull off a deal for Gonzalez, great googly moogly. Gonzalez has size, soft hands, does an amazing job blocking, which would give us back the option of running back screen passes returning to the play calling. As an aside, Blunt and a power eye blocking for Ridley on a draw, just a thought for Josh. It's actually a good thought. I wonder if they've given that any thought themselves. Let's see. Here's another one that says, Breer just sent another tweet that reflects the original statement. Eagles sent Sapuaga and a sixth to New England for a fifth-round pick. All picks are in 2014's draft. So that's the latest. Flint in Atlanta. Great show, John. Can we protect Tom? I know that he's getting older, but I think that he's like a hitter in a slump. The difference is big dudes are trying to kill him while he figures it out. That's a pretty good analogy, Flint. It's been a rough year, no doubt. We need to build Tom's confidence and his protection, especially at the game start. Go two tight ends if you need to, but get him comfortable. Get him in a groove, then build on it. We need to get to the bye without any more injuries. And he says, here's an unrelated note. In the past press videos, can we spring for a microphone at the back of the room? That way the press questions won't sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. I thought that in the new media room they actually had a microphone that would pick up media questions.
They do.
Well, according to Flint, you can't hear them. Anyway, Mike from California says, I have two guesses for why Stephen Ridley has not been starting. They try to limit his yardage so they can sign him to a cheaper deal because the Pats know he is valuable, or he's dealing with an injury so they limit his playing time. What do you think? I think if either one of those, Mike, are true, then the Patriots should be held accountable, called out on the carpet for being what they are, which would be cheap. It can't be the reason. Neither one of those. He's out there because he can play, so an injury shouldn't be the problem. Sign him to a cheaper deal so they're going to lessen his reps? Well, that's ridiculous. This is all about winning. It's all about winning. It's all about getting the ring, all about getting the hardware. You're telling me that they don't want to pay a couple of shekels here to keep a guy from signing for a bigger deal on down the line? That's ridiculous. I'm not buying that, and I won't buy that. Nick says, absolutely want Josh Gordon, so we give up a two. Thanksgiving up a Tavon Wilson. Come on, let's go already. Trey in Dallas says, I just want to say, although I'd gotten used to the high numbers and spectacular performances from the Pats, the one major thing that I think may be getting overshadowed is that in those Super Bowl years, we weren't always talent for talent better than everyone else, but we found a way to win. I'm just enjoying watching people trying to puzzle together how the Patriots are in great position that they're in. That's true. It is a bit of a puzzle. Yeah. Brian sends this one on email. He says, the answer is absolutely yes. Missing the playoffs for 2 years is nothing compared to winning the Super Bowl, especially with Brady's last few years and to silence all the Spygate folks. That's literally their only talking point now since saying they've done nothing since their last Super Bowl is a complete fallacy. If they can get some true game-changing players at the trade deadline, which lifts this offense to an elite level, or maybe even getting 35% of third down conversions, or boosting the defense even more, which I think they're going to do here with Sopuaga. Why the heck wouldn't you? Brady and Belichick won't be around forever. And when one leaves, probably Brady first, you know it's not going to be a seamless transition. I believe I said that about 4 weeks ago. As clunky as Brady's performed this year, it's nothing compared to what you'd look like with Mallett in there. Yes, I know he's not a terrible quarterback, but he's not great either. Let's face it, missing a couple playoffs could do the fans some good, temper their expectations, and actually, you know, make winning the division something to be proud of, as opposed to the yearly gimme and yawn that we always do. Plus, it'll only mean higher draft picks that Belichick, of course, could trade down from, of course. It's a great email, Brian. That's a great email.
In my opinion, John, I think you agree with me. It's really kind of a no-lose situation. You're only giving up a late-round pick, and it's a risk I think that's well worth taking.
I agree. This one on Isaac Sopuaga? Yeah, absolutely. The only thing you're losing here is that you're stuck for 2 years after this with his salary at about $7.5 million. Actually, no. He's 3.75 and 3.5.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're looking at about 7.3 million is what you're done over the next 2 years. So yeah, you just lost a little extra wiggle room on the cap, but then again, you had some to give. You got to do something to improve your team. You feel like the defense is playing opportunistic enough to where you need some help to plug the gap. And, hey, you got a guy for two more years that when Wilfork comes back,
exactly.
Hey,
can
you
help
know,
take a load off him.
Can take a huge load off of Wilfork.
And I think, John, as we spend a lot of the show talking about mortgaging the future, you're not really doing that with this deal. I mean, you're not giving up your future
for
this guy.
No, you're not. You're giving up a sixth-round draft pick. That's it.
I like it. It's worth a shot.
It's absolutely worth a shot.
Especially the way they've been getting pushed around up front the last couple weeks. I think it's definitely worth a shot.
Well, I think we realize, and that's been one of our nitpicks that seems to have been a common theme over the last couple of weeks here on Tuesdays, is getting beat in the trenches. more specifically, the offensive line's been getting hammered by the opposing defensive lines. But on the other side, we've also had the Patriots run on the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, as much as I admire the job Volano has done and Chris Jones has done and Marcus Forston and all these guys that have tried to step in, they're different body types, and there's no doubt in watching the games over again, which I do every week, and I'm sure you do as well. Those guys in the middle have been just getting pushed around a lot. And, you know, you look at a guy like Chris Ivory, 30 carries, 30-plus carries, had over 100 yards for the Jets. The Bengals ran at will. I think, Lamar Miller from the Dolphins, 89 yards on 16 carries,
crazy,
which is a great yards per carry average. This is a different body type from Jones, Forston, and Volano. This is a big, hulking kind of mountain of a man, more like a Wilfork body. I'm not saying he's Vince Wilfork. Don't get me confused on that. But his body type is more akin to Vince than the slender other guys that have been trying to fill in.
By the way, this from Sirius XM NFL Radio. They said the Eagles, they're already blasting it from the Philadelphia point of view. Eagles gave Sopawaga $3 million for 8 games to swap a 6th for a 5th? Brutal. Yes, I like the deal in New England's favor here, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Eagles have confirmed they have traded defensive tackle Isaac Sopawaga and a 6th-round pick to the Patriots in return for a 5th-round pick. Yeah, not quite like the Tlaib deal last year, but certainly looks like it can help in the trenches, without a doubt. Steve's nitpicks. Third down conversions, 2 out of 10 this week, which makes them now 3 for their last 22 on third down over the last 2 weeks. Don't you think you and I and Kevin, the three of us, could go 3 for 22 somehow on third down? Just saying. Proving the theory, we're only 1 third down conversion and 2 games away from being 8-0. And he says, nitpick number 2, lack of being aggressive to end the first half. We had the ability to have a minute and a half left on the clock, 2 timeouts, nothing was done to possibly close that 14-point lead the Finns had. The upside was the D being shut down one in the second half. A shutdown one in the second half. McCourty Cole play was definitely highlight worthy. All right. Olu, you get the final word here. Olu from Maryland. So Puaga in for some much-needed D-line help for a 5th. Belichick knows what he's doing, guys. There's nobody else I trust to get the most out of the injury-depleted roster we currently have and also to properly diagnose what areas the team needs to shore up via trades, which he has just done. I've sat here and listened to all the doom and gloom being spewed on the show today about the offense, and it's doing my head in. It's far from perfect, yes, but it's been 8 games. They're 6-2, plus I can only see it getting better. I actually saw some positives last Sunday. Over 150 rushing yards. 3 for 4 in the red zone. The only thing missing is more consistency on third down. Football is a complementary team game. We need to be thankful that the other parts of the team are capable enough to help out the somewhat struggling offense at this point. I don't see that lasting forever, though. A little less hand-wringing, please. 6-2. Pretty good way to end it on an upbeat note, right?
I agree, but if you don't see... I'm not trying to sound like Eastgal here, so don't jump on me. But if you don't see some of the deficiencies and the faults and falling down 17-3 to the Dolphins at home at halftime, then I don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
There are problems with the team. I'm not saying it's a bad team. I'm not saying it can't be a great team. But this guy helps, hopefully, knock on wood, correct one of the issues they've had in the last couple weeks, which is getting pushed around up front and letting running backs that I would argue are average to below average get 100-yard days on you.
Yep. Absolutely.
So I think that it's a great risk worth taking, and you know I'm maybe one of the minority that actually look at a guy, you know, when you look at Vince, Sean, when he walks through the door every Patriots Monday, his body is just so much different, and you can understand why it takes 2 guys to move him. With Volano or one of these other guys, I'm not saying they're light by any stretch, but they look more like almost like a tackle or a tight end almost at times. Volano's got his little baby belly, but you know, they're not Vince Wilfork, Kyle Love type bodies. This guy is that type of body that can at least eat up space and clog some of those holes in the middle, hopefully.
There you go. Good stuff, Kev. Thank you. And thanks for keeping track of the the social media feeds as all the news was breaking as the trade deadline now has come and officially passed. And again, if you're tuning in late or and you're getting ready for our fantasy football guys coming up in just a moment, we're going to get right to them. But the breaking news was is that Isaac Sopoaga of the Philadelphia Eagles coming to New England. The team has yet to announce it officially. But as we've gotten it from several sources via social media this afternoon, they are bringing him in exchange for a fifth-round pick. The Patriots are receiving Sopoaga and the Eagles' sixth-round pick this next year. And Sopoaga is under contract for two more years after the final eight games that he will play with New England for this year. So they've got him under contract for a while, and certainly he'll fill a need on the defensive front line. All right, more, of course, tomorrow. In fact, we'll jump right into the Steelers. Ed Bouchette from Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is going to join us on Steeler Nation and what's going on with the Steelers at 2-6. Good grief. Doesn't certainly sound like a typical Pittsburgh year, does it? It's not. And we'll get him to go into some detail on that and what the Patriots may face Sunday afternoon at 4:25 here at Gillette Stadium this next week. E-Scal will be in here as well. Want to hear from you. Be a part of the program. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.